Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
I'm excited about the message God has for us this morning. You're allowed to be excited too. Now, we know that everything Jesus said was the truth, because he is the truth. And you know also that sometimes he prefaced a remark by saying, "Truly, truly, I tell you the truth." And I've told you that when we find that in Scripture, it's always followed by something that's going to be extremely difficult for us to believe. Like he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same things as I have done, and greater things still will he do, because I go to the Father." That's just a typical statement. Actually, in the Greek, "truly, truly" is "amen, amen," which means a bit more than just "truly." It means "it shall be so, it shall be so." It's like Jesus saying, "it shall be so, it really shall be so, that anyone who believes in me will do the same things as I have done, and greater things still." So I believe this is a "truly, truly" message. It's an "amen, amen" message this morning. Now, we know that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We live in the good of that. Not that he needs to bless us. He hasn't really got anything left to bless us with, because he has already blessed us with everything in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And of course, we know that because he's put the kingdom of heaven within us. So all the blessings that belong to that kingdom are there within us. And Christ himself is in us. And the Holy Spirit of God is there within us. So God has really blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, the question is, why did he do this? And in the next verse, Paul answers the question. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, we talk often about the holiness of God and that he's called us to be a holy people, a people set apart for God, a people that therefore reflect the holy nature and character of Jesus in their lives. But the word we're going to focus on this morning is the word that Paul puts alongside that, the word "blameless." Now, actually, that's a very significant word in Scripture, in both the Old and the New Testament. That God raises up a people who are blameless. Now, another way in which you can state that is he raises up a people who are innocent. There's nothing to blame them about. Now, if we're going to understand why this is the case and how we are restored to innocence, the same innocence that God created man in the first place when he created Adam and Eve, they were innocent in the sight of God. It was only once Eve had been deceived and Adam had sinned that innocence was lost. It broke their relationship with God and it changed their relationship with one another. But of course, what Jesus did on the cross was to restore our innocence. Now, I'm just going to give you a little bit of drama here to help you understand. I want you to imagine that this is the throne of God for this morning. I mean, it's the throne of grace. It's always the throne of grace. But it's also the throne of judgment. So we're going to just talk for a moment about judgment, because everyone has to come before the judgment seat. We will. We won't have to fear about whether we're saved or not, but of course it's at that time of judgment that your eternal reward will be determined. You will then see everything that God has seen. In like a flash, you will see everything about yourself that he has always seen and known. And of course he will deal justly there with you. But how do we relate to this throne of judgment now? God is just. So if I can just assume his position for a moment. Everybody that comes before God is going to be dealt with justly. He is righteous, so all his judgments will be righteous. He is true, so all his judgments will be according to the truth. Now, when we know that we have sinned, when we know that we have grieved the Lord, that there's something that is not right in our lives or in our relationship with him or our relationship with others, when we realize that we are guilty of the sins of omission, that we haven't done what God told us to do, we've been disobedient and perhaps have put our own agenda in place of his agenda. All these things bring us to a point of repentance. We know repentance is receiving forgiveness, but also turning around and yielding ourselves afresh to the plans and purposes of God. So the ordinary believer, the average believer, if you like, as he prays, comes before God and he says, Lord, now, if you repent, you don't just ask God to forgive your sins. You say, Lord, I am guilty. Right? The sin isn't the problem. It's the one who committed it that's the problem. Hello? So true repentance is not just forgiveness of sins. It's an acknowledgement, I was responsible for that sin. I have been guilty. Are we there? In other words, I can't blame anybody else for my sin. I can't say it was his fault or her fault. If they hadn't done to me what they did, then I wouldn't have reacted in that way. I am solely, totally, 100% to blame for my sins, for what I am guilty of. Have we all got this? If I just ask God to forgive my sins without acknowledging my guilt, I haven't truly asked for forgiveness. I haven't truly repented of that sin. You're getting it? Okay, so I am guilty. I have sinned. I am to blame. That's it. Now, if I come before God, therefore, and he was to deal with me according to what I have done, he would have to say, Colin, you are guilty, you are to blame, and therefore you deserve the punishment that my word decrees for those who are guilty and those who are to blame. That would be just. That would be right. If he was to judge me just according to what I have done. But the good news is that he judges me according to what Jesus has done. That between me in my guilt and my sin and in what I have done that is really blameworthy, between me and that judgment is the blood of Jesus. So I come before the Lord and I say, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I am guilty. Lord, I am to blame. There are no excuses. I deserve that punishment. God says, because of the blood, Colin, you are innocent. You are forgiven. You are blameless. All all because of the blood. So, when I have confessed my sins, I know that He is faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So He says, you are innocent, you are forgiven, you are blameless, you are made righteous. All because of the blood. Therefore, if I am a person of faith, having confessed my sins, I can say, thank you, Lord, I am innocent. Now, a couple of minutes before, I was saying, Lord, I'm guilty because I'm really repenting. Now I say, because He has been merciful to me, Lord, I am innocent. 2 minutes before, I was saying, Lord, I am to blame. I can't blame anybody else for my sin, for what I've done or haven't done. Now I have to say, Lord, I am blameless in your sight. Before I was saying, Lord, I've sinned and what I've done hasn't been right. Now I'm saying, Lord, I thank you that in Christ Jesus I am made righteous, that He is my righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. That 2 minutes before I was saying, Lord, I've been unholy in what I've done or what I've thought or what I've said. Now I have to say, Lord, I am at one with you in your holiness, made holy in your sight. And I praise you. Now, this is the simple matter of faith in what Jesus has done. So, before the creation of the world, God chose you to be holy, but we're going to focus on the blameless, and blameless in His sight. So that means that because of His mercy, everything that you could rightly be blamed for, God does not blame you for. Because of the blood, because of His mercy, because of His forgiveness. Paul promises when he's writing to the Corinthians, He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when we will come before the judgment seat. That's when we will see everything as God sees us. So Paul is saying to the Corinthians that God's purpose is to keep you blameless. He makes you blameless through the power of His blood. His desire is to keep you blameless. So whenever there is any sin, whenever there is any guilt, whenever there is anything that you can be rightly blamed for or blame yourself for, God forgives you, declares you not guilty, declares you innocent, declares you blameless. And then He says, and I want to keep you in that blamelessness. Now, the epistle to the Ephesians is a remarkable little letter. I've taught you before that when Paul is writing to the Romans, he's writing to a church that he'd never visited at that time, so he's never taught them, and he always wants to be secure that people actually are knowing the truth of the gospel, because then as now, there are all kinds of weird and wonderful things being taught that weren't always the truth. So he wanted everybody to be grounded in the truth. Therefore, we have this wonderful exposition in Romans of what it is to be justified by faith and so on and so on. All very carefully explained. In the epistle to the Ephesians, it's not like that at all, because Paul helped to establish the church in Ephesus. He was there for 2 years and he taught the people. They were clearly, from this epistle, the best taught church in New Testament times. So you have in the first couple of chapters alone one amazing truth after another with absolutely no explanation. Why? Because he doesn't need to explain. He's just reminding them of the truths that he's already taught them, the truths that are implicitly there in the life of the church and in the life of them as believers. Now, it's interesting, you see, that he begins this epistle by saying, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. In other words, this was always his purpose, even before he created the world, to have a holy and blameless people, that we would be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, you have to get to the latter part of the epistle when Paul is talking about all kinds of practical things, where he returns to this. Ephesians is like a sandwich about the holiness and the blamelessness in which God wants us to live. And in chapter 5, he says this, that God's purpose is to present her, the church, to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So what Paul is really saying in this epistle is that God, before the creation of the world, chose, decided, determined to have a people who would be holy and blameless in his sight. His intent, therefore, is to keep them blameless before him until the coming of the day of the Lord. When God will present to the Father the church as a radiant church, holy and blameless. At present, there's spots and wrinkles. But by that time, he's going to present to the Lord a Reformation church, a church that has been reformed, a church which is holy and blameless in his sight. So we are in that sandwich. God has made us a holy and blameless people. He wants to keep us strong to the end so that we live in that blamelessness. And we're going to be part of what he presents to the Father if we're still on earth when he comes again, or else we'll be among the holy ones that come with him, when the church will be presented holy and blameless, a radiant church. So all this is the purpose of God that he is going to work out. Are you all with me? So it's important to God that you and I live in this blamelessness. So when Paul is talking to the Philippians, he prays for them. He writes this, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless until the day of the Lord. In other words, he's praying that you will love one another, that we will love one another, that love will abound in our knowledge and depth of insight for God, for one another, love for one another, so that we will know what is right, and we will be pure and blameless until the day of the Lord, until he comes again, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. So Paul sees that all this is going to be the work of God. He calls us to be pure and blameless. It's all because of the blood that we can be blameless in his sight. He wants to keep us blameless until the day of the Lord, when we will be part of that radiant church that we will be presented to the Lord, worthy of him. Then later in Philippians, he says this, do everything, say everything.
Everything.
Now, everything in this context means what?
Everything.
You're hot this morning. It means everything. Everything means everything. Praise God. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Hello? Do we hear that? No arguing, no complaining. Back in the days of the move of the Spirit, there was a simple little chorus that we sang. Do not argue or complain, praise him. I tell you, some of those simple choruses get us a lot further than some of the long hymns that we sing today. Truth, just enunciating a simple truth like that. Do not argue or complain, praise him. How can you rejoice in the Lord and argue or complain? How can you praise God and complain? What have we got to complain about if God has made us holy, blameless, innocent in his sight? What is there to complain about? Ah, well, it's the others, Lord. No, no, he's made them holy, blameless, innocent in his sight too. So there you're complaining about someone that he's made innocent. Hello? You want him to make you innocent, but you don't necessarily want him to make your brother or sister innocent if you've got something against them. The real problem is you, because you've got something against them instead of forgiving them. Still, that's another message, so we won't go there this morning. Okay, so do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? So that you may be blameless and pure. You see, when you argue or complain, you've going to have to come against before the Lord and say, Lord, I am guilty. Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I have grieved you. Lord, I am to blame because I argued and I complained. Arguing with the truth, that is. And with those who proclaim the truth. Anybody in this morning? Okay. So, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and perverse generation. The crooked and perverse generation is always arguing and complaining. But we've got nothing to complain about. Thank you for that resounding amen. It nearly deafened me. Nearly propelled me through the back wall there. It was just so astoundingly heart-driven. Amen.
Amen.
It shall be so. Okay, children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Amen? If we're holding out the word of life, we can't complain. Why should people listen to us if we're complaining people rather than a people of faith? Holding out the word of life. Okay, then he says to the Thessalonians, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believe. Paul is talking about himself and those who are with him as he ministers to the Thessalonians. He says, well, you can see from our lives that we were living in holiness, righteousness, and blamelessness. Now, that didn't mean that they were without sin. It just means they believed the gospel, that they lived in the good of what Jesus had done. They lived in the good of the shedding of the blood. So they were living in righteousness, holiness, and blamelessness, and they were teaching the people that they too could live in holiness, righteousness, and blamelessness. Isn't it amazing how when people do something wrong, they always want to blame others rather than acknowledge that the blame was theirs? Hello? Oh, well, it wasn't really my fault, kind of thing. I've always taught you, Jesus did not die for your excuses, only for your sins. He cannot forgive excuses, but he does forgive sins. Are you breathing? Okay. Then he says, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones. It's obviously going to be very, very important that when Jesus turns up, and we're taught that that could be at any time. I mean, you know, when we look at all the scriptures, we see, well, there's certain things that have got to happen before he comes again, so it probably won't be today, but we're taught that we are to live as if he is going to come today, so that we're in that holy and blameless state before him, so if he comes today, we're ready. He sees us washed in the blood. He sees us living as innocent, guiltless, blameless people. All because of his blood. All because of his mercy. Somebody say hallelujah. See, I told you this is going to be an amen, amen message. You see, I only have to look at you to see that you don't really believe you're innocent because you're looking guilty. I mean, you're innocent. God has restored you to innocence. He has restored you to a state of blamelessness, of guiltlessness. No guilt, no blame, no sin, no unrighteousness, washed in the blood. Isn't that amazing? Now, you stay there because God is merciful all the time. We're going to need his mercy. So then Paul says to the Thessalonians, may he strengthen your hearts. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body, so that's your spirit where Christ lives, your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will, and your body, you're probably familiar with what that is. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. Be kept blameless. See, he's made you blameless. Now he wants to keep your spirit blameless. He wants to keep your mind blameless. He wants to keep your emotions blameless. He wants to keep your will blameless. He wants to keep your body blameless. He wants to keep you blameless until the coming of the Lord. Is this good news or is this good news? The good news is that he will keep you blameless. You're not going to do this in your own strength, but he will keep you. The Holy Spirit is working within you to keep you innocent, to keep you blameless, to keep you guilt-free. So the blood deals with all the negatives, and the Spirit gives you all the positives. So the blood and the Spirit working together enable us to fulfill the purpose of God. Are you still there?
Yes.
Now, of course, this has always been the purpose of God, to have a blameless people, even in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of scriptures about the blamelessness of God, the blamelessness that God wants to see in his people. But I'll just come to that in a moment, because there's one thing I just missed out that I wanted to say. All this is possible only because of what God teaches us in Hebrews, that Jesus is our high priest who has offered that perfect sacrifice for us. He is both the one who offers the sacrifice and the sacrifice itself that makes us holy and blameless in his sight. So such a high priest meets our need when we're guilty, when we're not innocent, when we sin, when we do things that we could be blamed for. So he meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. And what does God want for us as his children? To be like him. Anyone who claims to live in Christ Jesus must walk as he did. Okay, so that means that he is working within you to make you holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, a witness to them, but not in fellowship with them. Light can't have fellowship with darkness. Are you breathing? Okay. So then Peter says, Peter, the ex-fisherman, the one with the big mouth who was always putting his foot in it, he says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Make every effort. What did we read just now? That the God of peace sanctifies us through and through. God keeps us in that place of peace with him through the forgiveness, through the mercy that he shows us. So make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Now that just means that we keep humble before him. We don't focus on our sin, but we focus on the one who forgives our sin. I was taught when I was before I became a pastor, I was taught that every time we pray, we should first ask for God's forgiveness. And that we should never take more than 30 seconds to do that. Now, there's a great truth there, because if you keep short accounts with God, you're not going to have to rabbit on for 10 minutes with a long list of things that need to be forgiven. But you see, the focus is not on the sin, but on the forgiveness. That I'm not beating myself up. I'm not trying to crucify myself. I've already been crucified with Christ. That's happened. So what I'm doing is acknowledging the sin that needs to be forgiven and then praising God that he's forgiven me. Praising God that I'm now innocent, guiltless, blameless, because of the blood of Jesus. Whether others recognize that or not is their problem, not mine. Which is why, you know, if I mess up in some way and I've been forgiven by God, nobody has the right to judge me. Which is why Jesus says, you know, all judgment belongs to the Son. And all that judgment comes from the throne of God. It never comes from another person. That if the other person is judging, as I've taught you in the past, the one who judges is sins seven times worse than the one they are judging. Hello? Sins seven times worse. He sins in seven ways by judging that person. There's no time to go into the seven ways now, but I'm sure I've taught you all that in the past. Now, what do we read in Psalms? Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless, and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart. So even David realized that God's purpose was for him to walk blameless. Which is why when he sinned grievously, as we read in Psalm 51, he said, have mercy upon me. Against you, you only, have I sinned. The sin isn't really against Bathsheba and Uriah. My real sin is against you. And you've called me to walk in blamelessness before you. Are we there? So how can you walk blamelessly? Only by knowing the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God daily. Whenever you mess up, immediately Lord, forgive me. You don't need to have to go into it. I don't know how many times during the course of the day I say, Lord, forgive me. Because as soon as I realize there's any wrong thought, wrong word, wrong anything wrong, it's Lord, forgive me. Why? Because I need the mercy of God and I want to walk in blamelessness. And I know, right, forgiveness, that means I'm restored, I'm innocent, I'm blameless, guiltless, forgiven. Woo! Lord, I believe.
Amen.
I'm not sure about all the others, but I believe. Amen? Okay, then in Psalm 18, to the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the blameless you show yourself blameless, to the pure you show yourself pure. God reveals his holiness, his blamelessness, his purity to us as we seek to live in that. Now, I want you to understand, we all sin, we all grieve God, we all mess up in one way or another. We get things wrong, I don't know how many times during the course of the day, but because of the blood, God restores us to that holiness, that righteousness, that blamelessness, that innocence. But we just have to keep humble before God, don't we? Then in Psalm 84, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk in blamelessness. You seek to walk in that blamelessness, God will not withhold anything from you that is good. Why am I giving you all these scripture references? Because I want you to find them for yourself. Don't be lazy. Get your concordance out. Go through all the blameless scriptures you can find. Because that's how the word really impacts you, when you find it for yourself. So, blessed are they whose walk is blameless. If you can't memorize the whole of Psalm 119, which is 170-something verses, at least you can memorize the first verse, how it starts. That he's made you blameless. You can walk in that blamelessness. Blessed are they whose walk is blameless. Then in Proverbs we read, he holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. Can you see how often in both Old Testament and New Testament, this blamelessness is a walk? So when we've done anything that really we are to blame, we get forgiven, then we continue in blamelessness. When we're guilty, we get forgiven, so then we continue in innocence. When we've done something wrong, God forgives us, then we walk in freedom. When we've messed up, he forgives us, and then we walk in victory. It's good news. It's all good news. Praise God. So he holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the ways of his faithful ones. That's a great scripture, isn't it? You'll find that in Proverbs. You'll also find this, the righteousness of the blameless makes a straight way for him. We're walking on the narrow way with Jesus. This is the way of innocence, of blamelessness, of holiness, of righteousness. When we deviate, ooh, Lord, I'm wrong, I'm guilty, I was to blame, please forgive me. Thank you for the shedding of your blood, and on we go. Yes. Praise God. Is this good or is this good? Pardon? Right, okay. He delights in those whose ways are blameless. He delights in those who believe in the blood. But he doesn't delight if we sit around moping around, "Oh Lord, I messed up and I got it wrong. And I always seem to get it wrong. And Lord, look what they do to me. Look how they," you know, blaming. No, no, no. We don't delight the Lord like that. But he delights in those whose ways are blameless. Proverbs also says, the blameless will receive a good inheritance. That's why we're going to be presented blameless on the day of the Lord, so that then we have a good inheritance. He whose walk is blameless is kept safe. It's another proverb. Then last of all, let's go right back to the beginning of God's encounter with man in covenant. When God first spoke to Abraham, and you know that he established the covenant with Abraham, the essence of that covenant is simply this: I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. That was God's call upon Abraham. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Now we know from the scriptural record that Abraham was far from guiltless. He got things wrong time and again in some pretty serious ways. And of course, there wasn't the blood of Jesus to redeem him at that time. But God was still merciful, and he must have known the mercy of God, because he got restored by God again and again. And God still worked the miracle in his life and still made him the father of many nations, so that we here today are sons of Abraham. But you see, it was his call, as it is your call and my call, to be holy and blameless in his sight. This is why Paul says again to the Ephesians, live up to your high calling, because God doesn't have a low calling for you. You see, we can't reduce the level of our call. But the blood and the Spirit of God have made it possible for us to fulfill that call. To walk before God and be blameless. So we can rejoice in the Lord always. Even when we've messed up, even when we've got things wrong, even when we realize we've grieved the Lord, we can still rejoice because of the blood and because of the sanctifying work of the Spirit. God will never give up on you. Amen? So we're going to pray in a minute, but before we pray, Pete's going to come forward and we're going to sing When I Survey. Because it's all about the cross. Any other musicians want to join him, you can. I haven't got my washboard, so I won't provide the percussion this morning. Be ready in season and out of season, it says in my Bible. This is a bit out of season by the look of it. Let's all stand. Come into the middle. Praise God. Are you blessed? I said, are you blessed? The only notes you ever see me working from are scriptures. These are all scriptures. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are we ready? To really praise our God who has made you innocent, blameless, holy, righteous in his sight. I mean, just take a look at you. Just take a look around you. I mean, he must be God Almighty, mustn't he? To make this lot holy, blameless, innocent, righteous. What a God. Come on, let's praise him. Have we got the words?
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gained, I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord. Sacrifice them to his blood. Oh, the cross of Jesus set me free from death to life eternally. My debt is paid. On the wondrous cross, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gained, I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. Oh, the cross of Jesus set me free from death to life eternally. My debt is paid. The work is done. Upon the wondrous cross, see from his head,
his hands and feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did
there such love and sorrow? All thorns compose so rich a crown. Oh, the cross of Jesus set me free from death to life eternally. On the wondrous cross, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing.
down upon the wondrous cross. Oh, the cross. Oh, the cross of Jesus set me free from death to life eternally. My debt is paid. The work is done upon the wondrous cross. My debt is paid. The work is done upon the wondrous cross. Upon the cross. Upon the
to the Lord and thank Him. Just pour out your heart in thanksgiving. Thank Him for the cross. Thank Him for the sacrifice that He made for you. Thank Him for the shedding of the blood. Thank Him for the shedding of the blood. Thank Him that in that blood is your complete forgiveness. That blood makes you innocent in the sight of God. Blameless before God. Cleansed of all unrighteousness. Come on, praise Him for the blood. Thank Him for the blood. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, we can stand before You this morning as a holy, blameless, righteous, innocent people because You have declared us so through the shedding of the blood of Jesus. And we give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We bless Your holy name. We praise Your holy name. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus. Come on, I can't hear enough praise. This is amazing. Just thank Him for these amazing truths. This amazing victory. You are guilty and He's declared you innocent. You're a sinner and He's made you sinless. You were to blame and He's considered you blameless. You've been unrighteous and He's made you the righteousness of God. Come on, praise Him with all your heart. Oh, thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord, praise You, Lord, praise You, Lord. Bless Your holy name. Praise Your wonderful and holy name. Now, just keep your focus on Jesus. Because now we're coming to the point of this message. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. However much God can and will use you in the future is dependent upon how wholeheartedly you have given yourself to Him. He can only take and use what is placed in His hands. But just as He wants to keep you blameless, He wants to keep you in His hands. He wants to keep you in His will. Now, surrendering to the will of God is not surrendering to a plan for your life. When you surrender to the will of God, you don't know what that is going to involve.
He doesn't give you a job description and say, will you accept that? When you surrender to the will of God, you surrender yourself to Him, not knowing what He will do with you, not knowing what the future will hold. But really, if you are surrendered to Him, it's none of your business what He does with you. That's His business. He has got the right to do with you exactly as He pleases because He paid the price for you. So you will never have any grounds to complain or to argue that He doesn't do the right thing with you. Do everything without arguing or complaining. Because you're surrendered and submitted to His will wholeheartedly. So just as every day we need to keep those short accounts with God so we continue to walk in His blameless love, so every day we need to keep surrendered to His will. Because yes, God has a long-term purpose for you, but He also has a short-term purpose that you live in His will day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, moment by moment. So I found it so beneficial to do that every day. Lord, I surrender myself afresh to You today in spirit, soul, and body, that You might do with me as You please, that You might work in my life in the way that You desire, for Your praise, honor, and glory. Something like that. Doesn't take long. But it's staying in that heart submission to the will of God in your life. That's why He taught us to pray, may Your kingdom come, may Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we can only pray that meaningfully for others if we pray it meaningfully for ourselves. May Your kingdom come, may Your will be done in my life today as it is in heaven. May Your heavenly will be done in me today. Thank You that You blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places so that Your heavenly will can be done in me today. Thank You for that blood that cleanses me from everything that has been opposed to Your will. Thank You for the gift of Your Spirit who lives in me to enable the fulfillment of Your will in my life today and every day. So let's just lift our hands, our hearts, our voices, our heads to the Lord. Praise Him for the gift of the Holy Spirit who will keep us moving in the will of God today if we listen to Him, follow the leading of the Spirit, obey Him, let Him work in us in the way that He desires. We praise You, Lord. We bless You, Jesus. We give You all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus. Pura la basadabaria letter bakala sitri santaria letter bakala sundama. Basadabaria letter bakala sitri sandaria letter bakala sutri sandama. O pasadabaria letter bakala sitri sandaria letter bakala sundama. Praise You, praise You, praise You, Jesus. Bless Your holy name, praise Your holy name. Can we just up the praise a bit? I think we need to be so thankful to our Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Pura la bazarabari alera bagara sitri sanduma. O papari alera bagara sitri sandari alera bagara sitri barandama. O papari alera bagara sitri sandari alera bagara sutri sanduma. O pazarabari alera bagara sitri sanduma. O paparia lero bakala sitri sandama. Bazarabaria lero bakala sitri sandaria lero bakala zultama. Hallelujah. Now thank the Lord that He's going to keep you blameless. He's going to make you strong and keep you blameless to the end. Come on, praise Him for that. Thank You, Lord. It's Your enabling. It's not me by my own effort. It's your enabling by your spirit. And I praise you and I bless you and I thank you. Yes. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. Bless you, bless you, bless you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Santa pakala zata palato pakala zutaba. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Pura tabari alero pakala zitri sandama. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pura labazatabari aletuba. Now, finally, can we just set our hearts upon fulfilling this word of God? That we will do, because he wants to keep us blameless, but obviously there's some cooperation on our part that is required from what the scriptures say. So can we set our hearts upon spending a whole day without arguing or complaining? Because you see, if you can manage it one day, you'll be able to manage it for another day, and then another day, and then another day. So instead of just making grandiose statements, oh, Lord, I want to live the rest of my life without arguing or complaining, just say, Lord, today, I don't want any negatives in my heart. I don't want to speak any negatives. I don't want to complain. I don't want to be dissatisfied. You are my Lord. You are sovereign in my life. You are watching over me. You are caring for me. As one of your blameless children, you are a shield about me. And I praise you, Lord. I praise you that because you bless me in Christ with every blessing that heaven has, I've got nothing to complain about. Thank you that you meet my need as my great high priest, who is holy and blameless. And I praise you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this whole college is going to be a complaining-free people today and every day. And we give you glory, we give you honor and praise. Come on, let's give a great big burst of thanksgiving to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.